So I would say networking to me is probably my number one priority in terms of scaling. It started with podcasting because I quickly realized when I would have a conversation like this, what happens before and after the episode is like really amazing. And then I would get introduced to different podcasters or different, business women, and my network grew, but so did theirs. And it just felt really good. Like it just felt like I'm giving back, they're giving back, we're all succeeding. Like it just felt really good. And so that's sort of where I started to lean in.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Online Creator Podcast. My name is Kim, your podcast host, business mentor, and audio storyteller. This show is a space to inspire through conversations and community to help us keep connected, keep inspired, and keep moving towards our goals. Expect to hear honest conversations and real life experiences from entrepreneurs at every stage of business and from a wide range of industries. Find your confidence, see what is possible, and build the legacy that you have dreamed of. Let's get started. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the Online Creator Podcast. Today, I get to speak with Holly Marie Haynes. Holly helps female entrepreneurs create simple, scalable offers and systems to grow to multiple six figures without relying on the social hamster wheel. An industry expert and featured in ThriveAndEntrepreneur.com with a 20-year business consulting background with Fortune 500 companies, Holly runs her strategic coaching business, the Crush the Rush Planner Company, and hosts the Top 100 Crush the Rush podcast while raising her twin daughters with her husband in Columbus, Ohio. I literally could have named this podcast so many different things because we covered a lot. And I don't want that to seem overwhelming or scattered, but honestly, Holly just comes from such a background of knowledge in the business world. And I was so excited to have her on the podcast today. Honestly, we cover everything from a lot of audio stuff, which lights me up. But you could tell as soon as we started talking about her favorite platform of choice and how she uses podcasting or audio in general as the anchor for all of her content development was pretty exciting to hear and honestly inspirational. So let's dive into today's episode. Help me in welcoming Holly to the show. Hi, Holly. I'm so excited to get on this call with you and to have this conversation. So thank you for just taking the time to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I know this is like a long time in the making, so I'm excited.
Yes, me too. And thank you for your patience with that. Life happens. So I would love to know, I've been kind of leaning into the second season with asking people what their platform of choice is to really leverage and market their business. And I feel like you have used audio in so many unique ways, but can you share that with us? Like why audio and if that's your favorite platform or which one is, I guess?
Yeah. So this is like a super ironic question because in my business, I use theme days to like run my business. Today is podcasting day. And I recorded our 400th episode of our podcast today. And one of the things that I talked about was I've also been a guest on over 300 episodes, which is about 700 interviews. And I like added up all the minutes and I was like, holy cow, that is a lot. But it was sort of by happy accident that I stumbled on podcasting. I started my business in January of 2020, and it was literally just an idea. I was like, I've been in corporate for a really long time, and I wanted to do something different. And I wanted to help women, and I had a business background, which a lot of entrepreneurs don't have. And so I was like, how can I like bring this together? And so I hired a coach, and the coach was like, you should do a podcast. And I was like, okay. And I'm like a super fast mover, which is sometimes good and sometimes bad. And so I like thought of the name in the shower, Crush the Rush. I wrote the first episode, recorded it in my basement, and it was live in like 2 weeks. And I was like, would I do that again? Not in the same way. I would totally launch it different. But am I glad that I did? Yes, because audio for me is controllable. So I can like record episodes, after school when my kids are home or in the morning, or I can control the content. And I also felt like from a, like, how do you get in front of other audiences? I just like talking. And it comes easier for me. Like if you ask me to sit down and write like 7 pieces of social media content, my brain will literally freeze. Like I'm like, I can't do that. So for me, it was just like a really easy starting point. And I always say, like, what can you be consistent at? Think of the thing that you like to do. And so I just sort of like leaned into it because it was enjoyable to me. Not the editing. Editing is something I don't like to do, but I discovered that quickly. And then what I discovered is my audience, who is mostly female entrepreneurs, but I would say 90% of them came from corporate or are busy or are working full time, don't have a lot of time. So what do? We're listening to Audible or, you know, we're listening to podcasts on 2x the speed. Like we're on the go, and Audible was more consumable. Like actually listening to somebody talk was more consumable, but it also converts better. At least it does for me, because people can hear my personality. They hear me mess up. They hear me laugh. Like they can hear my emotions. And so it was just like this powerful discovery. And then I just went all in and I was like, well, what else can I do with audio? And so I have a couple of private podcasts. Some, you know, you can download just like you would any other freebie. I have all of our content that we teach in our community is all available on a private podcast. So people can access it like when they're on the go, or if I want to teach something, we even use tools like inside Slack and things like that where you can talk, because I just feel like it just makes life so much easier. And then there's so much you could do on the other side of it. Like you can transcribe it and you can create it into even more things. And so you can tell I get like really excited about it, but I just feel like the possibilities are endless. Like if you could start with, you know, speaking and then turn it into so many different things.
You hit on so many important points there, but first of all, congratulations on that many episodes already produced for your own show. And then on the flip side of that, being cross-promoting and being guests on that many on the other side of it.
Like, kind of crazy.
Huge when you step back and look at that. So congratulations. But the part that I also think that's important for people to hear is, even though you maybe launched quickly, I think that's okay, right?
So because messy. I won't go back and listen to the first one. I just won't. I won't do it. But it's there. Like you can totally hear it.
But it kickstarted what you needed to. And it's funny because when I work with clients on launching, we create this whole roadmap, right?
Yeah.
But for
which
me
was
too,
what I would do now.
Oh, for sure. But for me too, I did the same thing that you did. I literally just thought, if I don't do this now, because I'd put myself off for 2 years because I was like, oh, I got to help others. I got to help others. And then I was like, wait a sec. Like all the tips that you said that make it make sense in your world were the same for me, because I saw it in the results of my clients. So I was like, why am I holding myself back? So instead of building this big roadmap, I literally just hit record and did it too, because I was like, if I don't do it this way, I'm never going to launch it. So I think there's this like all these mindset hurdles that stop us or prevent us from trying something different. But I think if you really do find a platform that's easy for you to show up on, you will be more consistent and it will convert better, because your audience will hear that. They'll hear the excitement of you coming in. And that's why I love audio so much too, is that I am busy just like you and just like most of your main ideal clients. We still want to learn, but we want to learn on our time. So even being part of a membership, if they have an audio version, but I have to click into the platform to listen to it, I'm not going to listen to it.
Like, yeah, but if it's on like your phone and you could just access it, it's so much easier. Yeah.
Yeah. So making it as easy as possible for our ideal clients to be able to consume the information is so important, because at the end of the day, we want to set them up for success as much as we want to set ourselves up. So I love that you hit on all of those points. That's so powerful. And that you've played with private feeds too, because I don't think people understand the power of private podcasts and all the opportunities that can be layered in your business with it. Like it kind of blows my mind. But anyways, so you come from a business background. You mentioned that. I mentioned that in the intro. You're a business mentor and strategist for your clients. How do you run your business differently? And what does marketing and visibility mean to you?
Yeah, what a great question. It's interesting because I feel like it pivots like as you grow. But, you know, I think at the beginning of business, I knew that I didn't want to create a business where I was going to be tied to my laptop or tied to my phone, because my whole goal was to like get out of the boardroom. Like, I don't want to be in meetings 17 hours a day. So I don't want to create a business where I'm tied to all of that. And so honestly, that's where the podcasting piece started. And then in terms of like marketing and visibility, I always say I want to work smarter, not harder. So I'm like, if I have like one really good piece of content, I really leaned into repurposing. Like, our repurposing strategy is like, it's a little intense right now. Like, I think things go to like 10 different places, but there's so many different tools that you can use to sort of make that happen. So my visibility is all about creating really valuable content. Like, I always say I am not worried about giving it all for free, because I want people to be like, I can't believe she talked about that. And she literally told me like what to do. I can't imagine what it would be like inside her community, right? So I'm a big fan of not gatekeeping, sharing what is actually happening, sharing behind the scenes, really like dialing into organic, hey, this is how it helped my client. Like, let me show you an example so you can use it too. And that's worked really, really well. And then, you know, I think as we've grown, our visibility strategy has really been, how can we take this like really organic, authentic content and just make it grow itself, right? Like, how can it just like compound? It's almost like the compound effect. Like, it's so good that people start sharing it on their own. So like, we have this free challenge called CEO Week. We've had like 5,000 people go through it. It's created this like own little community where, like, for me, it was like a 5-day productivity challenge 4 years ago. And now it's like, have you done this? Have you done this? This is what my CEO week looks like. And so I always say lean into like really helping, really serving, and then figuring out how you can multiply that message and get it on different platforms.
I love that. So when you look back at your year before you start planning, I'm sure you dig into like the podcast episodes that were engaged with more. Is that how you can spark some creativity around what next thing you're going to dive into more?
I feel like I probably have more anxiety about podcasting now than I did at the beginning, because I'm like, am I going to be able to think of like 400 more episodes? Like, it's weird. So the way that we sort of come up with content is twofold. One, we look at the data. And like, what do people want to hear? Most of the time, it's behind the scenes, right? So it's behind the scenes, like what's working for you. I always feel like content is a hot topic. And then the second thing we do is we strategically plan episodes around what we're launching. So it's almost like a backstage pass to whatever is coming up, or why did we create this program? Or we started doing once a month client spotlight. So every single month we interview a client, they get to, you know, sell and talk about their business, but also they can share how our community has helped them. And so it's really been kind of a fun mix of, you know, what do people want to hear? But also there's some strategy behind it of how can we teach you what we think will help you going forward.
Okay. So a question about that then, because you've talked about creating content that's controllable and that makes sense for your business and the season that you're in. How far advanced then do you record? Because I always think there's like kind of a balancing act there between having some like already in your vault ready to go, but then having more that are timely with whatever you're doing.
In my head, I would love to have like 30 days to 60 days done. It never happens.
Yeah.
So I would say about a month ahead of time. Now, the episodes where we have interviews with other people, those are pretty scheduled out and we can plan them ahead of time because there's a little bit more that goes into them. But when it's just me, because we do two episodes a week, I mean, sometimes it's the week before, I won't lie. Like, sometimes it just is what it is. What I like to do is usually the middle of the month, I will sit down and think about like, hey, what are the topics that we want to cover on the podcast for like the next 6 weeks? And I'll write out like ideas or titles or like what I think makes sense given the period, right? Like what's going on. I really don't go much further than 6 weeks because I just feel like, I don't know, you never know what's going to happen. I joke that our business has only been running in like a pandemic, financial crisis, I don't know what we're in now. So it's like, I don't want to go too far, especially when the individual episodes are very personal and behind the scenes. So they're pretty close to what's happening.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. And I think there is a balance. Like, you don't want to go too far in advance, but yet you don't want to feel like you're, oh my gosh, I need, because two episodes a week, like, we didn't even talk about that. Like, that's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah, so we're actually doing three right now, which is crazy. What? But we brought back, this is like actually a cool, just like podcasting tip. So on Thursdays, it's called Throwback Thursday. And because we have so many episodes, I was like, I feel like people don't even know that these exist and they're good.
I love that you're doing
this. So we did this like little fun intro of like, I was like, you know, I love Throwback Thursday. I went to high school in the 90s when like flare jeans were cool and now they're back. So let's bring back like our favorite episodes. And so we've been strategically bringing back some of our favorites because we have new listeners.
Yeah.
And then that's like helped increase our downloads because then they're listening to the episodes sort of on either side of it.
Oh, that's such a smart move. Yeah. So I have helped clients do like their top 5 or top 10 to recap their season or their year or whatever. Yeah. But I've never heard of someone integrating it throughout their week. I think that's brilliant because you're right. You get new listeners all the time. You know, there might be topics that we're really engaged with that you're like, oh my gosh, this conversation was like stellar. I need to like breathe a new life into it in some piece or way, shape or form. So I think there's so much you can do, right? I just listened to someone that's kind of a guru on Instagram because I feel like we're constantly learning what's new and shaking and changing on Instagram. And he simply said he doesn't like literally create new content every week. Like a lot of his content, like 75% of it is repurposed, just changed up a bit. Like the titles changed and the highlighted parts that he really addresses are changed just a bit. But he's like, if this is your area of expertise, you don't have to keep creating a new thing. Like, don't create, you know, there's lots of amazing content that you have that you can just repurpose throughout the year.
Yeah, I'll give you two more tips if you want. Mm-hmm. So the other thing that we did for repurposing is we started creating playlists on Spotify, which is super fun because you can brand them, which I don't know. I love a good branding moment. And so we'll do like, I don't know, one is called like the best planning playlist, right? So it's everything that we've ever talked about in terms of actual planning. And then we have a content repurposing playlist. And then we have a client attraction playlist. So it's really fun to share those. And they're sort of like categorized in like different topics. The other thing that you mentioned is 95% of what you see on our social comes from our podcast. So we, like, I don't really create new social content. It's all repurposed sort of on the back end through like different apps and things.
Oh, I love that.
I'm like, it's video. Video's good. There's captions. Captions are good. Like if I could just use my podcast for content, then I'm happy because.
Yeah,
because
you're already creating immense value, right? Yeah. You've already spent the time and energy there. So why not repurpose it? I think those are brilliant. I knew about the playlist and I just haven't played with them enough. So I need to like,
it's so fun. That. You could do it in like 10 minutes. Like it's, and it's so, I'm like, oh, how many playlists can we create?
Oh my gosh. That's so amazing. I think we really need to start helping people that are listening with how you serve your clients and how you set your week up for success, because you have so much amazing knowledge and tips to help people out. And I think you just kind of scratch the surface a little bit and you talk about your Mondays are for you to work in your business. Is that how you help clients too? And what does like a little behind the scenes of what the rest of your week looks like then?
Yeah. So going back to my CEO week example, when I was working full time, I only really had like an hour a day to work on my business. I have twins at the time when I started my business, they were in kindergarten. Like it was the pandemic. Like there was just not time. So I was like, you know, if I have an hour a day, what is this going to look like? So Mondays are what I call CEO day. You've probably seen people talk about it, but the goal is like, there's no meetings. You're just figuring out what do you need to do in your business to move the needle? Like it's very much those like income producing activities. And then I segment my week into themes. So like Tuesdays and Thursdays are usually one-on-one client days, or I have a mastermind, so I might be meeting with some of them, but it's basically client days. And then Wednesdays are podcast days. So as much as I can, I try to schedule podcasts on Wednesdays. I also try to record my podcast on Wednesdays. So I'm like usually dressed in my brand colors. I'm like up, I'm talking, like you're in the mode. And so it just helps me sort of batch them all together. And then Fridays, I also try to do no meeting days. It doesn't always work that way. But I like to use Fridays as a second sort of CEO day where I'm usually writing content or repurposing content or checking in with my team. So I try to keep it really, really simple. And that's what I teach because everyone's business looks a little bit different depending on what phase you're at and what you want to do. And so if we can create these like buckets of things that you want to work on, whether it's personal or business, and then we can say, hey, Wednesdays are podcast days. You can do anything you want on Wednesday as long as it's related to a podcast. You don't have to stress out on Friday when you're like, oh man, I thought of 17 playlists I create. All you have to do is say, you know what? I'm going to create those next Wednesday when it's podcast day. And then you tend to be more consistent.
Well, and I think more productive too, right? Yeah. Because I think a lot of us, if we come from a world of a lot of structure, entrepreneurship is not that.
No.
And so being able to bucket or theme your day so that you have the freedom within that day to time block however you want to, but the freedom, like you said, like if you don't have time on this Wednesday, do it next Wednesday because you know you'll have the whole day.
Yeah.
I love that. I need to do a better job. I have my Thursdays typically as my podcast days, but I need to do a better job of making sure Mondays are consistently just for me and my business and then blocking the other days for client work and that kind of thing. So I think that's really important.
What if you could create an audio funnel that helps you build and scale in a unique way? If you're dealing with low converting opt-ins, not seeing growth with your email list, or wanting to create an opt-in that drives excitement, so not your typical PDF or checklist, then Launch with an Audio Funnel training is for you. Expect to learn how to identify and tell your unique story in a way that captures the attention of your audience. Become more accessible and meet your ideal clients where they are at. How to format and structure your episodes, and ways to drive traffic to your audio feed and generate demand for your content, and even a game plan to create excitement around your audio asset. If you're interested in learning more, check out the link in the show notes. Launch with an Audio Funnel training might be the right fit for you.
What about, I know you also are a fan of stacking. Mm-hmm. So can you explain what that means or looks like? And is that around the income streams as well? Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So one of the things that I teach from a, like, how do you make money in your business perspective is what I call income stacking. And it's this whole theory on you're really good at probably a handful of things, right? So you're really good at podcasting and editing and like really figuring out how people can scale using audio, right? So the goal is that you create a product suite that serves people at different levels, focusing in on those talents. Because so often I see people like, oh, I have 17 freebies and I have 15 different products and no one's buying anything. And it's because they're confused. They don't know, like, what do you actually do? And how can I work with you? And so the way that I like to explain it is you have one thing that you're really good at. And you serve people at different levels. So beginner, intermediate, advanced. So in our scenario, I call myself a business strategist. I like to help you save time and make more money, right? So how do we do that? Well, you can listen to my podcast. That's free. That's beginner. You can also join our membership. That's like a stepping stone, right? It's lower ticket, high value. Then if you want more, we have a program called Antisocial School, which is a little bit, it's like medium ticket, but you get more access to me, right? Like you're getting like business audits and you can talk to me. So it's a little bit more than the membership. And then we have our mastermind, which is sort of high ticket, but like high touch, high access. I'm teaching the same things. I'm just teaching them at different levels, depending on if you want to do it yourself or you want help or where you're at. And so what it's done is it's really educated my audience on, well, this is what she's known for. And I can, depending on what I want, I can either come in, you know, in the membership and just like tap into it when I'm ready, or I can take the step and join the mastermind and like Holly's in my back pocket for 9 months. And so it's just a way of thinking about your business model of you don't have to create more things. We're just packaging it and giving the level of access to you a little bit differently based on what the price point is and, you know, what they get in each of the products.
I think that's brilliant. And also, I wonder if there's also a layer of how you want to actually, what your lifestyle wants to look like, right?
Oh,
because
yeah.
There's so much like hands-on, one-on-one work in this online business world. And a lot of it is consuming like your time. So
yeah.
Being able to figure out how to income stack your offers in a way that makes sense on how you want to live your life, I think probably is also comes into play there, right? I mean,
yeah. And, you know, I would say that's honestly where it came from because, you know, I was working full time and running a business. Like I didn't have time to do one-on-ones. Like that wasn't an option for me. So I had to do it backwards and say, okay, I've got to create this like high ticket, super valuable program because a $7 course with an audience of 10 is not going to replace my corporate salary, right? So you really got to think about what do you want your schedule to be? What are your income goals? And then create that stack so that people can reach you at different levels.
Yeah, that only makes sense. And I think people need to revisit that a little bit more often. Do you look at that for your own business like yearly or, you know,
yeah,
a couple times a year? Like, how do you look at it?
I run everything on quarters. I'm a big quarterly fan. I get really stressed out talking about like more than a couple weeks at a time. And I don't know. I feel like things change so much. And I'm also just a big fan of the 12-week year. And I think there's a lot of philosophy behind instead of thinking of, hey, I have till December to work on this, think of what do you actually want to accomplish this quarter? Like, let's just get it done. And then you can reevaluate and do something else after that. So we look at ours quarterly. And you, if you go to our website, you could very clearly see the income stacking. It literally says like beginner, intermediate, advanced. Like it's super, super clear. So we look at it quarterly and usually we'll focus in on like one program a quarter of like, do we want to update it? Do we want to launch it? Where is it coming from? And then we'll obviously plan our podcast and our content around that. But I do everything on a quarterly basis.
That makes sense to me too. And honestly, if I think anything past 3 months, I get overwhelmed. Because I'm just like, oh, I just don't even know where life is going to be.
Right? It's just more overwhelming. And I'm like, how can we simplify this? Let's just make it easier.
Yes. And I'm all for that. Streamlining and easier than overcomplicated makes total sense. What does networking mean to you? Because I know that you just threw an open networking event not too long ago, and I was able to take part in that and meet some of the people in your atmosphere. Is that something that happens on a regular basis throughout your own program? And then do you look at opportunities online and in real life as well? Because I think that's an interesting piece that a lot of us are maybe kind of forgetting about what is happening around you locally too.
Yeah. So I would say networking to me is probably my number one priority in terms of scaling. It started with podcasting because I quickly realized when I would have a conversation like this, what happens before and after the episode is like really amazing. And then I would get introduced to different podcasters or different, you know, business women, and my network grew, but so did theirs. And it just felt really good. Like it just felt like I'm giving back, they're giving back, we're all succeeding. Like it just felt really good. And so that's sort of where I started to lean in. And then once I left my corporate job, I had this goal of, well, I want to lean into my community more. I didn't really have time to do both when I was working full time. But I was like, hey, let's lean into our local network. And so that's where a lot of my time has gone recently. And I think people forget, like one of the best pieces of advice I give to some of my clients is like, who's around you? Because sometimes your best client or your best connection might literally be like down the street from you and you just don't know. And so really leaning into that sort of local community vibe has been really, really powerful. But also, I think people like a mix of both. Like people like to, you know, meet people from all over the world. It's really cool to see people come together. But also it's nice to, last night I just went to dinner with one of my clients and she brought two of her friends and they were all going to an event and we all met new people. And it was like this sort of magical conversation. And so I think it's important to do both. I actually set aside time on my calendar in my CEO week that's literally like networking hour. And I'm like, who can I follow up with? Who can I connect with? Who can I connect? Right? Like I always say, like, doesn't necessarily mean how many people can I meet, but like how many people can I help? Like, who can I connect with so that they can get a win? And then I, you know, I'm sort of a believer that it sort of all, you know, comes back full circle. So if you can help somebody else, like, what does that look like? Yeah. So that's really, honestly, like, down to the, like, roots of how we've grown is through networking. And then, you know, as we've been able to grow our communities, I see my clients working together and I see them like on each other's podcasts and they're going on vacation together and they're like meeting up in different cities. And I was like, oh, we need to create something. And so we've done it now at the end of the year for the last couple of years. And I think we're going to try to do it once a quarter, like going back to our quarterly plan of just creating this like very organic networking. I don't even know. I would just call it a conversation. Like, we're not selling. Yeah. It's not like fancy. It's literally just like introducing you to different people so that you can learn from them and they can learn from you. And I think when we took the fanciness out of it and we took the like selling out of it, because a lot of people host networking things and then it's like, oh, buy this. It like changed the game. Everything. Yeah. Everybody was like so grateful for it. And I feel like everyone, it was a win for everyone.
Yeah, the last couple of years, I've been a part of a few different networking circles. And probably the most important piece was there's no pitch. You can talk and celebrate about what you do. But part of that, too, was also like throwing out a challenge or something that you would like to ask. Yeah. And it's not a pitch. It's completely different. And when you reframe that conversation like that, it makes so much more sense. And you get so much more value out of it. Like, I was in a small breakout room with a couple of artists. And I was like, first of all, I just kind of sat there and I was like, yeah, why did I get paired with the artists? Like, this is totally not my world. And then when they started talking about what their ask and challenge was, I was like, oh, I can actually help you with that. Or I think I have some tips or tricks or some things that I have seen. And I've actually, some of my favorite clients have been artists. So I was just part, it was just so quite crazy how I was like in this room and first doubted why I was there. And then I was like, wait a sec, think differently. Because I think we've also been taught that you have to be in specific circles. So like with like-minded, okay, so podcasting, audio is my thing. So I should probably align myself with, you know, like maybe copywriters or because maybe their audience or coaches because they have a lot of clients. But thinking a little bit differently has really created some amazing opportunities. And I imagine you've seen that too, because it's just more naturally organic.
Yeah, it's been really cool. I mean, everyone's like, what type of business owners do you work with? And I was like, well, it's really everyone. But I've had everyone from local bakers to wedding dress designers to like PR agents. And it's just everyone has like such a different perspective. Yes. And so it's cool to see somebody in a different industry, help somebody in a different industry and how they can bring together what's worked for them.
Yeah. And so when you started, I have this question I have to ask now, did you target a specific audience? Because that's what everybody says too to do.
I know. That's what I would tell you too. Yeah. Like I'm a big fan of niching down. I would say my niche was really targeting women who were working full time. And so the way that I teach, and it's interesting now because a lot of people that I attract don't work full time and have full time businesses. But what I always say is my goal is to teach you how to have a full time business on a part time schedule. Like I want to give you your time back. And so when I really started sharing like the corporate world and how I was shifting it into, I want this to be different. That's where my niche fell into. It wasn't industry specific though, which is interesting.
But I think that's a different way of looking at it too, though, right? Because you're still relating to a lot, like a specific population, right? And a lot of us start, I mean, my first 3 years was part-time working a full-time, you know, a permanent position and then doing this as my side until I gain traction and gain confidence and gain more knowledge. So I think that's very relatable to a certain population for sure. Quite a big population probably for most of us. How do people find you and work with you? What's the best way to get into your atmosphere?
Yeah. So the best way is just go to hollymurrayhaines.com. I would challenge you though. CEO Week is really popular. It's a free challenge and you can see how we use audio and visual and all the things behind the scenes. It's just hollymariehaines.com/CEO week. And it sort of walks through my schedule and what I do and
perfect.
How we run our business behind the scenes.
That's perfect. I'll make sure that's in the show notes and I will be checking that out as well because I need to implement it better in my day to day and definitely week to week. Before I let you go, I love ending the conversation with a reflective question. And this one is just, what does success mean to you? And is there any, you know, any guidance or any help that has helped you achieve that?
Yeah. I always say, and it goes back to what we were talking about, if you can control your schedule, I feel like you can control your life, right? So success for me, it's actually having control of my schedule. I talk a lot about my dream at the beginning of my business was what I called the bus stop dream. And that was to be able to put my kids on the bus and get them off because I couldn't do that when I was working full time. They were super weird times. And so that's why I talk so much about podcasting and time saving and repurposing and CEO days and all the things, because I truly feel that you could be successful on a very part-time schedule if you're really intentional with it. What has helped me the most is probably asking for help. And I'm sure most people say that. But I am a type of person where I'm like, well, I'll figure it out. I can just do it. Like, I'll just work till it's done. And I feel like when I let that go and was like, you know, I could ask somebody to help me with this, or maybe I'll ask somebody for feedback on this. And so it's not 17 ideas, it's 2 ideas. And let's like follow through with those first. That's really where I saw the biggest growth, but also I feel like got my time back.
Yeah, I think a lot of us are very scrappy. We would call ourselves scrappy, right? Because if we want to achieve certain goals, and instead of just waiting or trying to find the right person to help us, we'll just figure it out.
Yeah.
But within that figuring out time, we're losing time, right? We're losing this precious, valuable time that we could be spent on revenue generating, you know, things that move the needle forward. And that's a hard one to let go of, but it's so important in order to like build and grow your business, however you see it, because growth looks so differently for everyone. But thank you so much for your time. There's so many more questions I can ask you, but I love our conversations. And I hope people reach out and find you, because what you do in your world is so specific and so beneficial to entrepreneurs that are really trying to, you know, figure all these things out. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks again for tuning into this week's episode of the Online Creator Podcast. If you haven't subscribed to the show yet, please do so on your favorite media player. And come check us out over on YouTube, where you have full access to our episodes on video there. You can check out the important links mentioned in today's episode in the show notes. And please join the conversation over on Instagram @MayandJamesCo. I'll see you next week.